Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, nothing's changed more than the running back position for the Houston Texans from a year ago to now. Let's start with who was in studio with us a year ago, Deontay Foreman. Big things expected from Deontay Foreman. We thought maybe J-Lo, that he would be out of Bill O'Brien's doghouse. They had a talk, and Deontay Foreman gave us a little taste of what we thought could be a crossroads conversation with Bill O'Brien was like. Here was Deontay Foreman in studio a year ago, and then we're just going to relive the wild, wild, wild running back position for the Texans the last year.
Yeah, a lot of times you hear things, you see things, you're on social media. Well, Bill O'Brien probably thinks this. You hear us, and you're like, at some point you just got to just like sit down, man to man, eye to eye. Did you have that moment?
Yes. I was on the phone with my mom, and something was telling me, like, man, like, you need to go talk to him. So I was on the phone with my mom, and I told her, like, you know, I think I'm going to just go talk to him. She was like, you know, go ahead. I sent him a text message and told him that I wanted to talk. He was, you know, like, come on, come back up here or whatever. Mm-hmm. He asked me where I was at, and I told him I was at home, but I told him I didn't mind coming back. So he told me to come back, came back. You know, he met me in his office, and, you know, we had a great conversation, really great conversation. I felt like I was able to, you know, just
tell him,
you know,
where you're
in his face
from,
and just tell him where I was coming from, and just tell him, you know, how passionate I am about really being a Texan.
You know the type of personality he has. If he understood you, and it seems like he has from what he said, how much more did you understand him?
I understood him a lot. You know, just like I said, it was a great conversation. It was like, you know, just a lot of back and forth. He let me speak.
How long was it?
He spoke 20, 25 minutes. Okay. You know, but it was like just straight, just talking, like back and forth. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do nothing but just respect the whole conversation. And I felt like he felt the same way. It was just a lot of great energy. That was one thing. I just feel like, man, just go in there and speak up for yourself and be you.
Right.
Know, you can't go in here and try to be somebody else and then try to have a real conversation. You just got to be yourself. So, you know, it just turned out to be a great conversation. Mm-hmm. I feel like we both had the same, you know, great energy.
I think both of us and Figgy as well would have bet a lot of money that was a turning point. That was a turning point meeting in a positive way for Deontay Foreman. But it went the other way. I mean, it's so weird. And I don't know if it's because Bill O'Brien already had his mind made up and was just being courteous, you know, to have that discussion with him, or Deontay Foreman reverted to maybe some things that Bill O'Brien didn't like. Yeah, to his old ways. But at that moment, listening to him and the sincerity in his voice and his answers, I would have bet money that guy was going to be an integral part of the team.
Yeah, then things got real weird. Training camp began, and Deontay at times looked like he was doing his thing, and then at times you found him on the sidelines. I remember at one point he was actually on special teams blocking punts, and it appeared to be very weird. And less than a month plus after...
To the day, right?
Yeah, well, it was on August 4th, so a month and 2 days after that, on a Sunday, Deontay Foreman was cut. Here's Bill O'Brien talking about why he cut Deontay Foreman.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime, John, you're just trying to make a decision in the best interest of the team. You know, we've got some guys that are playing pretty good at that position, and we had a need at some other positions, and that's just what we decided to do. And, you know, we wish Deontay the best. He's a good guy. He's got talent, and we wish him the best.
Crazy transition of the running back position here on Around the NFL, Sports Radio 610. Best interest of the team, we've heard that before. We've heard that many times. So Deontay Foreman cut on August 4th. Then on August 8th, Texans make a trade. We've been talking about Duke Johnson for a while. He wanted out of Cleveland. He was unhappy. Seemed like a pretty hefty price to pay, but the Texans were willing to pay that price on August the 8th, 2019. The Texans traded for Duke Johnson. Here is Bill O'Brien before it became, quote, official.
Paperwork has to be signed. Physicals have to be passed. So I'll talk more about that when any I mean, there's 50 transactions on the table. You know what I mean? So we'll talk about them when they're finalized, if they are finalized. So that would be one of them that, you know, maybe not. You know, it just depends on how it all goes with the paperwork and the whole deal. So we'll see when we get back, and we'll go from there.
He passed his physical. Spoiler yep. alert, Duke Johnson was a Houston Texan. Here's Bill O'Brien after it became official.
We worked well with John Dorsey in Cleveland, and,
buddy boy.
And it didn't just happen overnight. So these are things that we've been thinking about for a while, along with 100 other things.
Well, buddy boy, I want you to get excited here.
So it was official. Duke Johnson was here, and we thought it was going to be Duke Johnson and Lamar Miller. We thought maybe Duke Johnson could beat out Lamar Miller. Those were the top two running backs on the depth chart August 8th. 4 days after Deontay Foreman got cut, J-Lo.
The interesting thing about that is the reason he cut Foreman, in his words, was that there was some competition at that position and it was in the best interest of the team. Well, then you bring in Duke Johnson. You cut Deontay Foreman because you felt like you were getting good competition there, but then you bring in another running back. So there was clearly something going on there that we may never find out.
16 days after the Texans traded for Duke Johnson, they were facing the Cowboys in the preseason. This day was kind of overshadowed because it was also the day that Andrew Luck announced his retirement. But from a Texans perspective, they lost Lamar Miller, who could have been their starting running back, to an injury in a preseason game against Dallas.
First down, Texans from the Houston 31. One back, Miller. Watson under center. Hand off to Lamar. Tripped up and loses the football. Is it a fumble? Miller is down.
He was down. He did not get back up. That was one of those where you knew immediately that this was a serious injury. And all of a sudden, all of Houston, all Texans fans, amidst Andrew Luck retiring, were wondering, is Duke Johnson going to be the starting running back? Are they going to run with Caron Higdon? What the heck are the Texans going to do at running back? And Bill O'Brien basically confirmed the panic in the post-game press conference because he made no stink about it. You knew it was serious with Lamar Miller. Bill O'Brien didn't even try to put on a front there.
You know, obviously Duke has come in here and learned the offense and done a good job, and we've got a number of guys. You know, we have, like I said, Tywan Jones and other guys that have played well this training camp. So it'll be interesting to see how it all comes together.
Once again, got a number of guys. But another trade was made, John Lopez.
Yep.
The trade for Carlos Hyde right before the season. Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. So you go from Lamar Miller and Deontay Foreman to Lamar Miller and Duke Johnson to Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde. And here we are now. It is David Johnson and Duke Johnson, and DeAndre Hopkins is no longer with us.
They've been trying to figure it out for a while. Hyde did his job, though, man. Miller did had a couple of really good years there, too. But they've been trying to figure it out and get that next guy. And, I don't think it's going to be David Johnson, but we'll see.
Full circle nature of the running back position. Carlos Hyde, kind of a sore spot for John Lopez. Not the biggest fan of Carlos Hyde.
Not really. I'm a big fan.
He's got beef with him, and it all has to do with
I have no beef with him at all.
It all has to do with his nickname. August 31st, Hyde arrived in town. I was in the locker room. I asked Carlos about his nickname, El Wapo.
This article had nicknames for running backs at Ohio State at the time, and mine was El Wapo. You know, I had to look it up, see what it meant. I'm like, oh, that fits well. You know, my name Carlos, you know, I'm going to just go all Spanish out with it. So, it fits good with me.
So, we did that. Mark Berman asked about 6 follow-up questions after that. And it was tough for John Lopez to watch Carlos Hyde have a good year for the Texans because of his
distaste.
I liked
Carlos Hyde a lot. It was easy for me to watch him have a good year. It was not quite as easy to listen to some of the play-by on the radio.
Yeah, you hated that. You hated the El Guapo. You hated Mark Vandermeer saying El Guapo.
I just don't think it caught on. It never did. It was forced.
You hated it?
I had this discussion with Vandermeer.
You did. And just as they have done many times, John Lopez and his close friend, the voice of your Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, they had a disagreement. Not about gang members in the parking lot this time, but about El Guapo running that rock.
It's time to lay to rest El Guapo. El Guapo, as we say in my hood. It's just not sticking. It's just, it needs to die on the vine.
Jane, you ignorant slut. That's a dated reference. Listen, that's his own nickname. It's been with him for a while. It's his Twitter handle. I love being able to call guys different things, especially guys who get the ball a lot, like El Guapo. And it's a nice thing. It means he's handsome. He's a good-looking guy. El Guapo for the touchdown. I'm keeping it.
And just like that, another
and now he's gone
in the armor of the friendship of Mark Vandermeer and John Lopez.
And now he's gone.
Been through
Not
a
Vandy.
Lot.
He's never leaving.
We've been through a lot. We've been through a lot here in Texas, in Houston, in regards to the running back position. And now it's all about David Johnson and Duke Johnson. We'll see what happens. By the way, Lamar Miller wants to play football.
He does.
It'll be interesting. He has made it clear that he wants to play some ball. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610, 713-572-4610. Provide us with a hot take about 4th of July. We will analyze it because there's been a lot. John Lopez thinks you need homemade ice cream. Figgy Dang thinks right. you need popsicles. I think if you play intense pool volleyball, you're a little bit of a tool. Lots of takes, but is the loopholes turn to fire off those takes? Plus, Tillman Fertitta, my goodness, there's been a lot of gossip going on. Will there be some snooping by the Rockets when they return to the court as well? That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
We know NBA players are going to be snooping around trying to get some of that thing when the season resumes in 4 weeks. But are the Rockets going to be snooping for a new coach? During the offseason, Tillman Fertitta had a lot to say about Mike D'Antoni during the public contract negotiations. Here's just a little taste of Tillman Fertitta talking about Mike D'Antoni rejecting the contract offer, the extension that he made that most people close to the NBA thought was borderline laughable. Tillman Fertitta did not think that.
I don't know what lame duck means because he's under contract. I think his agent did me a favor, okay? Because if for some reason we had a horrible year and we thought we needed to make a coaching change, we just got through paying off one of the other coaches, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't believe, you know.
How do you not know what lame duck means?
I know. That's just kind of talking around the topic a little bit.
It was...
I mean, everybody knows what lame duck means.
It was a very interesting presser. It was the one that he just called out of nowhere. Fertitta, Tad Brown, Daryl Morey sitting there with their arms crossed. Here's another taste of... what that was like leading into the season that picks up in about 4 weeks.
I'm optimistic. Some of our main competitors are trying to keep their key people. We're going to keep all our key people next year and be aggressive if we can find better. But we have a great, again.
We're not changing the change. Yeah. If we can improve ourselves, we're going to improve ourselves. But we love our starting five.
Oh, do you?
Okay.
Do you? They traded Chris Paul a very short time after that. So
that was just one of those things that always points to you know, don't pay attention to what they say. Pay attention to what they do.
Fluid process, say the very least. But there's been two stops. The last two stops, obviously the offseason leading into this year. And then, of course, when the NBA was paused, it wasn't D'Antoni this time that Morey was talking about. That wasn't the employee he was talking about. This time, it was Daryl Morey. That Fertitta was talking about at the White House, of all places. This is Tillman Fertitta.
And it wasn't even brought up.
No, it was not. And this is not the only time that this happened during the offseason. Tillman Fertitta talking about trying to get restaurants up and running during the pandemic, and he brings up Daryl Morey, who you just heard from.
It's been devastating, and it's funny you brought up about China. I should have realized it was going to be a bad year for China when my general manager tweeted out, freedom for Hong Kong. So that started my year with China.
And you kept it quiet, right? You kept that quiet.
So I'm still trying to work that out. And here comes something else.
He owns the Houston Rockets, in case you don't know. Yeah, he did cause you a little ruckus. Whatever happened to him, by the way? Is he still working for you?
Yes, he is.
He must be pretty good.
Yes, because it's just it's a trick question, but he is.
I'm still working that out. It's a trick question. This wasn't that long ago, Landry, that he said all these things unsolicited.
Yeah. I mean, it was about 2 months.
He's still your general manager. It's a trick question. What?
No, he must be good is what it was. He must be good at what he does. That's a trick question. Gosh. I wonder if they're snooping around right now, because we know that NBA players are going to be snooping around trying to get that good in more ways than one. I wonder if the Rockets are going to be snooping around trying to find a new coach. I don't think they're going to find a new GM because, no disrespect, I just don't think they're going to fire someone and pay him. I just don't think that's
right.
I think Fertitta's going to, even if he thought that Morey was bad, which I don't think he does, I don't think he's going to fire someone and have to pay him and then bring in a new guy. I don't think that's going to happen. But D'Antoni could be the end of the road for Mike D'Antoni. 69 years old. I keep hearing his age.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows if this is the final run for the man with three first names.
He has to understand that this is it. Unless he wins a championship, this is it for him. I mean, it really is one of the worst-kept secrets in sports that Mike D'Antoni is out. I've seen basketball websites talking about, where is Mike D'Antoni's next stop? I'm like, what? They're still playing. But everybody knows that he's not going to be the coach here.
We'll see. We will see. It's going to be a sad time here in ASAP. It's going to be interesting to see how Harden handles it, too, because D'Antoni's done some pretty good work with Harden, and he made the Chris Paul thing work, and it seems like he's made the Westbrook thing work. So be careful what you wish for. You're going to have to bring in a coach that, can handle offense as good as D'Antoni, if, of course, that does happen. 4th of July hot takes. John Lopez has had a couple. He says you need the homemade ice cream. I think pool volleyball, the intensity of it is a little bit toolish. I also think Seltzer Life kind of gaining a little ground on the beer. I think anyone who graduated before 97 probably has a bad tattoo if they have one. And I also think if you bring your own beer, you got to bring BYOBPE, your own beer plus extra. And Figgy, my gosh, this dude is obsessed with popsicles.
He wants a popsicle so bad.
He wants a popsicle very, very bad. 713-572-4610 to get in. Let's go to Larry in Stafford. Larry, you are in the loop.
Hey, what's going on, Landy? OG, y'all doing good, man?
Awesome.
Fantastic. Have a great holiday.
Yeah, you do the same, man. Now, look, I was just sitting around, man, enjoying the day before the free holiday, get ready to kick it off. Then y'all had to bring up that old lying-ass Bill O'Brien lying to Dante Foreman, and then he cut a third rounder. Then he went back and traded a third round to get another third round. All kind of hell broke loose. And that was the confirmation that we knew Bill O'Brien was a liar, man, because there was no reason to cut Dante Foreman at that point because him and Lamar Miller was going to be our backfield. And sure, lo and behold, after he cut Foreman, that fool go out there and then get two new running backs to put in that backfield, which led us to this point that we had to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins for another running back. So what that did, and I believe that I listened to that interview that day when Dante came in for y'all, man, and he did sound like a different player and looked like he was ready to take off. So it was shocking to all of us that he got cut. So y'all put a little paint on my holiday celebration. Then y'all played that jackass Donald Trump on the radio with Tillman Fertitta talking about Daryl Morey, and I'm like, man, what the OG and them doing to me, man? They know these are two things that really get my pressure up. So now I have to listen at him talk about he don't know what Lane Smith is with D'Antoni and all this. So I said, look, I got the call. Let me get on this 4th of July thing. Look, OG, you know how I feel about you. I've been with you from day one. You can't be sending me to Fredericksburg to get no damn peaches, man, to eat no ice cream. I go with you right now. I'm gonna have to put some water in the bottle of this OG sauce just to get through the 4th of July. But I am not going to Fredericksburg to get no peaches, man. And the rock salt in the ice cream. This is what I'll say about the HEB ice cream and Bluebell. Here's this: people that don't have no money, they go and buy that HEB stuff. That Bluebell is what we do in Texas, man, and everybody know it. So y'all quit tripping on that. Now, this is the last thing about the 4th of July thing. Y'all asked for a hot take on the 4th of July. There's nothing better on the 4th of July than sitting in your backyard that's a private backyard where the rest of the world can't see you except if they're flying at 37,000 feet and your wife butt-ass naked and you got you a stick in your mouth watching fireworks in our house.
Oh, got that stick in your mouth.
With the wife naked.
God,
he's talking about with the wife naked in the backyard.
Yeah.
I see him.
Yeah.
I see
Why
him.
Not?
He's tripping on that Creamy Creations HEB stuff though. That ain't
It might win the taste test. No, he might be right that it's obviously a less expensive brand. I'm just saying it's good.
No, it's delicious. The stick in the mouth. The cigar. Are you smoking a cigar this weekend, OG? Sorry.
Come on, man.
Sorry to offend you. 713
At least one.
572-4610 if you want to get in. Let's sprint into the 4th of July weekend by tasting something that usually is one of the worst tastes you can have, the taste of defeats. But with the absence of sports, it's going to be oh so sweet. I'm a poet and I didn't even know it, Nick.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
When sports are going on, the taste of defeat is one of the worst tastes you can have. But with everything going on right now and everything not going on, I think the taste of defeats would be a welcome taste. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Let's just taste some defeats. Courtesy of the 2018 and 2019 Houston Texans, and courtesy of the greats, and I do mean greats, Mark Vandermeer.
I have to stay off Twitter because I'm going to lose my mind.
Don't lose your mind, Vandy. Stay professional. The final calls of Mark Vandermeer for every Texans loss the last 2 years. We're going to analyze the final calls, J-Lo, and then we're going to talk about how this loss, these losses travel with time. Do they still make you sick to your stomach? Do you still get that small taste of defeats? Here is the season opener of the 2018 season. This was a game in which the Loopholes put five figures on it. I traveled to Vegas with over 10K on me. We made a bet. We would have won 30K, 3-1 odds, but the Texans ended up losing to the New England Patriots. It was the Bill O'Brien, it's not my job game.
It's
Texans,
not my job.
Lose to the Pats. That is where this clip came from. They lost 27-20. Here's the call, the final call from Vandy.
First down at the 43-yard line of Houston. Watson in the gun. Here's the snap. Deshaun looking. Deshaun trying to get time to get his receivers open. Scrambles out to the right, and he's going to air it out long and deep. And tipped and incomplete. The game is over. The Texans make a second-half run, but it's not enough as Houston begins at 0-1, losing to the Patriots again, 27-20.
How do you think Vandy handled that one?
He handled it on the air pretty good, but if you read the inflections of his voice and if you know the backstory of how frustrating not having beaten the Patriots, really, I think just once to that point, you understand he was riled up, as we all were.
At the time, I mean, I'm holding about $10,000 worth of tickets in Vegas. I'm pissed off.
Remember, we predicted the victory.
I'm very disappointed.
That was a money line.
Yeah, it was a money line.
That was a $10,000 money line bet.
Yeah. It was. It was right at the.
You got your Venmo canceled because of it.
I did. Still canceled. But over time, doesn't really sting, man. I mean, whatever, you lost in New England to the Patriots. Never really felt like the Texans had control of that game. You had the fumble on the first play, the zone read where Watson fumbled. The end of the first half, I know Bill O'Brien got criticized, and I'll be the first to criticize Bill O'Brien. He's right about it not being his job to challenge something. Like, he was actually kind of right. He just got a little too snappy. But as far as just being frustrated with the loss, that one really doesn't sting as much as we taste the once bitter, now not so bad during these times, taste of defeat. The very next week, 1 week later, September 16th, in Tennessee against the Tennessee Titans, Blaine Gabbert starting for the Tennessee Titans. Texans lose 2017. The fake field goal that caught the Texans sleeping. They end up losing that game in Tennessee. Here is the final call from Vandermeer as we taste defeat.
Second down and 10 at the Houston 48-yard line. Watson to the gun. Miller to his left. Deshaun takes the snap. Watson looking. Now he scrambles out to the right. He's going to run out of time. Deshaun's got to throw it. He's got to make a play. Watson running. 5 seconds left, and Watson throws over the middle to Hopkins, but they're not going to get the spike in. They're going to run out of time, and the game is over. 20-17, Houston falls. Watson trying to find an open man downfield, but lost track of time, basically, and the Texans go to 0-2 to start 2018.
How did Vandy handle that one?
Yeah, that was a little more obvious. That was, and it should have been. I mean, the clock running out, Deshaun was not the best decision he's ever made. And Tennessee, man, 0-2.
Tennessee, 0-2. And I got to tell you, that one does not travel well with time. That one sucked. That was a frustrating loss for the Houston Texans. That one stings almost just as bad couple years down the line. The next week, what a terrible start to the 2018 season. September 23rd, 2018. Finally, some home cooking. You lost in New England. You lost in Tennessee. New York Giants, you guys suck. Eli Manning looks like he's on his deathbed. They dominated the Texans. Wasn't as close as the score. They scored on the opening drive. 27-22 was the score of this one. Here's Vandermeer with the final call as the Texans start the 2018 season 0-3.
Manning takes a knee and it's over at NRG Stadium with the Giants beating the Texans 27-22, and Houston goes to 0-3 in deep trouble in the AFC South to start the 2018 campaign.
And that's when you could tell it in his voice. That's when I also thought, and I'm sure a lot of people, it's one thing to lose at New England. It's another to lose to a division rival. You lost to the Giants at home. That's when you start thinking this season might be going off the rails, man. But guess what? Channeling our guy Stanford Route.
They picked up their business a little bit. That one hurts just as bad. But what happened the next 9 weeks kind of covered it up a little bit, because the Texans went on a franchise record 9-game winning streak. They were 9-3 facing the Indianapolis Colts December 9th, 2018. Colts in the Texans winning streak with a 24-21 win. Really not a big deal, and I think you can hear that in the voice of Mark Vandermeer.
Luck takes a knee with 35 seconds to go. This game is over. The winning streak is over. The Texans fall to Indianapolis 24-21, and they see their record drop to 9-4, while the Colts are 7-6 and still alive in the division. But the Texans can help themselves with 3 games to go in the regular season, starting Saturday against the New York Jets on the road.
Yeah, and they, you know, that's when you started to, after that, in the midst of that big win streak, started to believe, okay, so things are happening here. They're going to win the division. But then, you know, they started to worry about playoff positioning, and that's when it gets dicey.
That's when it gets interesting. That one didn't hurt. That was no big deal. It was all icing. You won 9 straight games. As we taste what's usually a bitter taste of defeat, but something we'd be starving for right now with the absence of sports. December 23rd, 2018, in Philadelphia against the Eagles. Now, at that time, we didn't think that the Eagles with Nick Foles would win the Super Bowl, but they did. And Mark Vandermeer, they had won a Super Bowl. And Mark Vandermeer had the final call of the game-winning field goal by the Eagles after Jadeveon Clowney, who had a hell of a game, was called for a roughing the passer penalty. Here's Vandy with the call.
35-yard field goal attempt, left hash mark for Jake Elliott. Here's the snap. Here's the kick on the way, and it's good. And the Texans lose to Philadelphia 32-30 and drop to 10-5. And the playoffs will have to wait for now.
That was a frustrating one. That was a frustrating loss.
Yeah, and you're in the game. You can hear John Harris tell them early, it's good. So the call is reflective of that. He's just kind of down from the very start of it.
That one does not travel very well. I just remember Deshaun finding Vincent Smith, maybe the best throw that Deshaun Watson has ever made. And, I mean, he trusted a guy that really didn't make a lot of plays during his time as a Houston Texan. That one, as we taste usually bitter taste of defeat, that one still stings, but maybe not as much as the final game of the 2018 season. January 5th, 2019, just a 21-7 assing by the Colts. I don't know any better way to put it. The Colts jump off to a 21-point lead. Marlon Mack running all over the Texans. Andrew Luck's last game. Very interesting. The last game Andrew Luck played was the last one he played at NRG. They lost to the Chiefs the next week. That would be his final game. But we know how Vandy feels about the Colts. We know how that one felt. Here's the final call from the great Mark Vandermeer.
Luck approaches the line of scrimmage, the 23-yard line of Houston. Victory formation. Andrew Luck takes the snap, takes the knee, and the season is over for the Houston Texans. A stunning loss, 21-7. It was a tremendous run for the Texans back from 0-3 to win the AFC South, but they fall short in the playoffs by 14 to their nemesis, the Indianapolis Colts.
Man, that was awful. And they were never in it. You said it. I mean, they were
that was cruise control.
Yeah, they were just boat raced.
That one stinks. That one hurt and still does. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I would love to feel that hurt. I would love to be reacting to any sort of sporting event, which is why we're doing this exercise here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. First game of the 2019 season, Texans versus New Orleans Saints, Monday Night Football. Deshaun Watson in primetime. Early on, you had him jump into the end zone, score a touchdown. Then late, with the Texans trailing, Deshaun Watson found newly acquired Kenny Stills for a touchdown with under a minute left. Texans looked like they were on their way to winning the season opener on the road in New Orleans against the Saints. But then as the Saints got to midfield, less than 10 seconds remaining, Aaron Colvin, playing about 79 yards off of the receiver, allows a completion in front of him, which led to a long field goal attempt by the New Orleans Saints. And you know where this was going.
Worstead will hold. Snap is down. The kick is up. And he's got it. And the Texans lose at the buzzer to the New Orleans Saints. An absolute crusher. 30-28.
Andre,
don't you wish we could just sit here today and gripe about that, something like that again, whether it's Rockets, Astros, whatever, just to be able to break it down, talk about it. I hate that term, break it down. I don't know why I used it. And really just, you know, gripe. We miss that. That's what makes sports great. Not just the victories, but the fact that you have that heartbreak.
And I think you start to appreciate the heartbreak during times like these. That loss upsets me because we were saying Aaron Colvin should be cut all of training camp. We were watching him at practice, and we were saying, I know you got money invested in this guy, but this guy can't play. Like, Aaron Colvin probably shouldn't be on this team. And that was in hindsight, based on what we saw. He was cut.
No.
He was cut days after that loss. That was frustrating. I look back at that game, and I'm proud of Deshaun Watson, and I'm proud of the fact that he was able to pull it off. But I'm also frustrated because something that should have happened early on, releasing Aaron Colvin, I think if they had done that, I think that Deshaun Watson would have had the win that he deserved to start the season. And we wouldn't be talking about this and tasting that.
Well, but the thing is, they didn't have any better options. I mean, maybe someone else would have played it slightly better, but I mean, he was, as much as he wasn't great, he was their best option.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I could go, I think I could probably go find someone at the local middle school that could play closer than Aaron Colvin did there. September 29th, 2019 against the Carolina Panthers. This one was weird because the Texans won their next two games after that Saints loss, and they were facing Kyle Allen. Cam Newton shut down by the Carolina Panthers. Kyle Allen coming to town, and I'll be damned. You had the double pass by DeAndre Hopkins, and the Texans fall 16-10. Final words from Vandy.
4 seconds to go. Watson gets the snap. Steps out to his right. Deshaun looking. And Deshaun fires deep downfield to the end zone. It's tipped and it's incomplete. The game is over. Houston falls to Carolina 16-10. Hail Mary comes up short. Texans see their two-game winning streak come to an end.
That one sucked. That was...
That one sucked.
That was a bad L. That was a bitter taste of defeats. October 20th, 2019, Indianapolis Colts. Jacoby Brissett, the AFC Player of the Week because of his work in this game. Eric Ebron, the most annoying jackass of the week because of his work in this game. Wouldn't shut up. Here's the final call for Mark Vandermeer.
And Brissett takes the snap, takes a knee. It's over. The Texans fall to Indianapolis 30-23 as the Colts take over first place in the AFC South. And the Texans drop to 4-3 on the season with the Raiders up next.
You kind of forget about that because the Colts' lead was very short-lived. I think they lost the next week, if I remember that correctly. But the Texans were kind of in a way right there at that point.
Yeah, they were in an interesting spot, and they went back and forth, and the Texans ended up pulling away after the Thursday night game. Tasting defeat, the bitter yet sweet taste of defeat, if we could actually taste it soon in sports, could resume. This one was ugly. November 17th, 2019, Baltimore Ravens. That's really all I need to say about this one.
They set up.
Yeah.
Inside 5 seconds on the play clock, they'll take a knee. RG3 kneels down. It is over. The Texans lose big at Baltimore, 41-7, and are faced with a very quick turnaround for a crucial battle with the Colts on Thursday night.
Yeah, it was.
They won that game. They won that game. They put the Baltimore one behind them, but I think it was kind of a rude awakening that, you know, heading into that game, can the Texans propel themselves into the top tier of the AFC? Did not do it. But they were able to beat the Colts. And
That's what that did. It made you realize, well, they're good, but there's a whole other level out there.
There's a whole other level. And it looked like they were basically going to be able to sleepwalk. I think I called this the Tennessee tune-up heading into the game against the Denver Broncos. Drew Lock, who the hell is that? Coming to town, his second start of the season. Second start at NRG since he lost to the Longhorns in the Texas Bowl. I saw no chance that the Texans would lose this game. Not only did they lose this game, they were down 31-3 at half. We all remember the Bill O'Brien, you suck too, mother effer video that was in this game. Yeah. Texans end up losing 38-24. Vandermeer, let me feel that disgust.
Lock under center, takes a knee. It is over. The Texans stunningly fall to the Denver Broncos, now 8-5 on the year. This sets up the big battle at Tennessee next week.
And they bounced back against Tennessee, but my gosh, that Denver game was rough.
That's when Drew Lock's the legend of Drew Lock started as well. I mean, they love him up there
dancing.
Right now.
Yeah, he does a lot of dancing. I did not see that coming. So the Texans ended up beating the Titans. They lost to the Titans in Week 17. No one really cared, though. Deshaun Watson, among others, set that one out. They won the playoff game in Buffalo. And then the last time that we heard Mark Vandermeer's voice in the play-by-play format, Kansas City up 24-0, the field goal, the fake punts, all of it. Didn't have a play. Vandermeer, take us home.
Mahomes takes a knee. It is over. The Houston Texans lose in the divisional round to Kansas City, 51-31. The campaign comes to an end as the Texans, AFC South champions, bow out in the divisional round to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't know, man. If I'm going to get over that anytime soon. That was just not necessarily the pain, but just kind of the marvel,
the opportunity
of it all.
The opportunity.
Yeah, you marvel at how it was right there, and then you didn't have. You went from oh my gosh, you're controlling everything to they don't have an answer for anything.
Oh my gosh, you're going to be hosting the Tennessee Titans with a chance to win the Super Bowl. It was outrageous. It was crazy. It sucked. There's nothing worse than your team losing. But the whole point of this exercise is as bad as it is, with sports being gone for as long as they've been gone, I would love nothing more than to taste something, and I would even settle for the taste of defeat. Landry Locker,
I'm
John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Might not be long, 4 weeks till the Rockets start getting things together and the season ramps up out there at the Disney bubble, and then you're going to have the Astros before that, and then the Texans training camp will begin. Sean Bajani is in for Clinton's show, so he's going to – during their show, they might actually get the news of what players need to be preparing for, because there's going to be a call from the NFL with players, so we'll know what's going on there. I believe he's with Cecil Shorts today, so you'll hear from those two guys afterwards. Keep it locked here on – In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. OG, I know you always got awesome 4th of July plans. What do you got planned?
Enjoy that,
making some homemade ice cream?
Enjoy that homemade ice cream you're not going to make this time. You need to do it, man. You need to do it. Yeah, I'm going to Rockport, man. Just going to get away. No, nothing big. Not a big group. Just getting down to Rockport. Go chill. See some different water. Have a good time. A little hot dog, a little barbecue. I think we're doing ribs and definitely some homemade ice cream.
There you go. That's what's up. Figgy, what do you got going on?
I'm chilling, man. I ain't doing nothing. I'm just chilling at the house.
There you go. Quarantine and chill. I tell you.
Yeah.
You're not going to cook anything?
Nah. We did all that for
popsicles?
Juneteenth.
Oh, for Juneteenth? Okay.
Yeah, so
we're
chilling.
Popsicles? You know he's going to get popsicles.
I might have to. I might have to.
We'll talk about those popsicles for a while. What's the best color of those?
I like grape.
Blue.
Grape.
Y'all are both.
Blue.
Yeah. It's between, I would say it's between blue, grape, or red.
Because I like blue because it doesn't have a flavor. I mean, there's no flavor of blue other than blue.
I thought it was coconut.
Nah. It doesn't taste like coconut. It's
what is
blue.
Blue flavor?
It tastes like blue.
What is blue flavor?
It's just, that's what I'm saying. That's the flavor. Blue.
Okay.
It's true.
All right. I got you.
Same thing with raspas, you know, with snow cone.
Who?
Raspa.
Huh?
A raspa.
Who? Okay. There you go. On that note.
Snow cone.
On that note, hope everyone has a very good weekend. If you're working, enjoy less traffic. If you're not, enjoy the time with your family. We know it's a different 4th of July, but happy 4th nonetheless. Land of the free, home of the brave. For the OG John Lopez... For Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, and for all the loopholes, if you listen, you are a loophole no matter what you are doing. Be safe this weekend. We will talk to you on Monday. I'm Landry Locker. Wade Smith and Sean Bajani are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.